Welcome to the D
and A of Home Interiors. The DNA of Home Interiors is all about empowering you to make confident home interior and furniture decisions. I'm Audrey, founder of Audrey Whelan Interior Design. I've worked as an interior designer for almost 20 years, running my own business for 10 years of this. Recently, I have refocused my business to help people who are undertaking their own refurbishment or redecoration project. I do this through individual consultations in people's homes and also through running interior design workshops around London.
I'm Deirdre, the co-founder and CEO of Cooldea, an online search and comparison website which enables people to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire market on one website. Cooldea is the home for furniture discovery. Check it out to search over 80 retailers simply today. Audrey and I decided to set up the podcast after seeing the overwhelming feeling that many people encounter when undertaking their own project. The sheer amount of choice available often leads to decision paralysis. We're here to help you make confident decisions. So Audrey, I noticed on your workshops that you have one on planning your space and measuring up, and there's a very nice 3D drawing. It always reminds me of technical graphics and architecture drawings, and I thought, oh, wow, that must be really complicated. But having had the pleasure of going on the work course, I've realised that actually measuring up is really important, and it's something that none of us really properly do because we think we have a feel for it and we rush out into these shops, which are of course big warehouses where everything looks amazing because it's got lots of space, and then we bring things home and all of a sudden our rooms are cluttered with furniture, too big for the room or too many items in the room. How do we do it right?
Yeah, so that's something that I absolutely love teaching on the workshops, how to empower people to be able to kind of take that job on themselves of measuring their space. Because I think, you know, people sometimes feel like they need to be able to use maybe fancy computer programs to be able to do that, because obviously in the industry, yes, that's what we tend to use. But I've really kind of, you know, just gone back to basics with it, which is in fact how I learned to begin with, because I studied interior design so long ago now that we actually did everything on paper. And so I think in your room, you know, just with a simple measuring tape, to take all the measurements and then to record them on a piece of paper. Graph paper is really useful, and if you want to get quite technical about it, you can actually plot it down to scale, and this is what we teach with using scale rulers. But even if you don't go to that extreme, just taking the measurements and drawing a square or a rectangle and then writing them down is really good. I think it's important to not just take the four walls, but also to think about the doors and the windows in the space as well. So measure from the corner of your room to, for example, the edge of the door, and then write that down, and then take the next measurement, which is the width of the door, write that down, and then the next measurement, which is the edge of the door to the other corner of the room, and so on around the four walls.
Yes, and I suppose actually making sure that your door can open. You can't put furniture wall to wall if you need the door space to open.
That's right.
So how do we think about all those other elements? I'm just thinking of my living room, and I actually have a little step which links up onto the balcony. Mm-hmm. So again, that takes that couple of inches off that room that you can't actually work with. So you're going to have certain restrictions and limitations. And it's not just in the length and on the floor. It could also be from an alcove, or maybe it's a height restriction if you've got the stairs going up, chimney breasts, you name it. Everything, isn't it? Mm. What am I missing out on? Because there's probably something.
Well, things like the step you mentioned, I mean, that's a great example of something to actually draw in on your plan. So when you draw that square or the rectangle of your room, and like I said, you're actually writing the dimensions in, not just of each full wall, but the elements in the room, the doors, the windows, and then the available wall space in between. Then also plot in like the step, and then maybe show how deep that is or how wide that is if you feel that that's relevant. And then in terms of things which are not on your floor plan, if you like you said, the staircase perhaps in the room, or a different height in the room, if you're looking for maybe a tall bookcase, you need to know what the maximum height is of the object, you know, you can place in that space. So what we would do as interior designers is we'd actually draw elevations as well as the plan, which means that you would draw each wall out. Now, you might want to get, you might not want to get into that level of detail if you're just starting out, but at least to record those key heights that may impact, you know, your research and your decision making around the furniture. And I suppose, you know, essentially the way I look at it is you're actually recording your constraints. So, you know, you may go to a furniture shop and think, oh my gosh, you know, I've got so many options, or maybe you're browsing websites or Pinterest or whatever you're doing, and you're just thinking, you know, I want a bookcase, but like, I don't even know where to start. But actually, when you've measured out that space, automatically then, if you start looking at the dimensions of things you like, you might find that you just can't have that object anyway. So it can be quite a quick way then to kind of whittle down your wish list and see what actually works.
And one of the things I came across in my apartment is my sideboard in the kitchen. I actually have a plug behind it. And it's okay. The only plug on that wall. So actually the sideboard can't go right up flush against the wall. Yeah. It's quite a little bit out because of this plug. Yeah. And it's something I didn't consider at all. But I suppose it's not just plugs. It could be a light switch if you're thinking of a painting, or your radiator. You sort of ignore them.
Oh, yes.
You don't want to radiators put necessarily a couch on front of them, which is going to stop that heat getting into the room.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And also other things that may be on your wall, for example, a thermostat. And I think, this is where back to that idea of sort of drawing each wall as well. If you've got a lot of things on the walls, it's really helpful to do that same kind of system I described for the floor, but do it for each wall. Or if, back to the bookcase example, maybe the wall you want to place that bookcase on. So you actually measure out where that light switch is, where the thermostat is, and where the socket is. And you decide then, well, actually, I don't want to cover the socket or the light switch, obviously. So I'm only left with 1 meter then, maybe in width. So then that narrows down your search. And then, you know, maybe it is that you have to compromise then. You think, well, I really don't want to cover that socket. So am I now going to move the socket and, you know, pay for the expense of that? Or am I going to live with the fact that my bookcase will sit a little bit out, like in the case of your sideboard, or perhaps put an extension lead onto it so you can still use the power elsewhere?
I had to retrospectively move a radiator. So probably not advisable when you have to get in a plumber and he's cutting out your wall to move your radiator so that your couch can fit. So,
radiator is a bigger deal.
I would massively agree to doing the wall planning and not just the floor planning. Then the other element that I think is fascinating, and is particularly in a small space, you can get really caught out on it, because the minute you leave the room, I don't know about other people, but for me, the space grows in my mind and I'm operating in a much bigger space than in reality that I have. How do we look at the functionality of putting the furniture in? Because it's not just the space in which it occupies. If it's a table and chairs, you're going to have to pull those chairs out. Is somebody walking around the table as there's people sitting there? If you've got a sofa bed, how does that pull out and what does the functionality of that look like? How do you think about that when you're designing a room?
Yeah, so they're all really, really good points, and points that are so easy for people to forget. And this is where the value of actually doing the drawing, like I was talking about, and doing all the wall drawings as well, you know, really pays off. And if you do get to grips with the idea of sort of having some graph paper and maybe a scale ruler, or just operating on a scale for yourself, for example, on a piece of graph paper, you can say that every square equals half a meter, and you know, to begin with, just do a little sketch of a, you know, a rectangle or a square with the dimensions like I described, then get a piece of graph paper and just work that out for yourself. And then you can actually plot in, say, your dining table, which is maybe, say, it's, you know, 2 meters long by 1 meter wide. Maybe that's in an extended format and it's smaller when it's not extended. And then likewise with the chairs, you can see the variation between kind of needing to allow for that full size of chair to be kind of outside of those table dimensions for when people stand up and sit down. And then obviously the space you gain, you know, when they're tucked under. So that's what I love about drawing things out. It really allows you to test all the ideas. I think what's great is if you measure the space to begin with and you work out, like I said earlier, the kind of constraints you might have. So you can see, well, you know, the maximum size dining table I could have is maybe 1.5 meters long. And then you start on that shopping journey, whether that's online or going around some shops, and, you know, always carry a measuring tape with you, I'd say, when you're out and about. And then you can quickly measure things up. You can say, I love that table, but actually it's 2 meters. I know I can only fit 1.5. So just forget about it, no matter how much I love it, but at least take note of maybe what it is you like about it. You might find something else similar. And then I would say, you know, that space planning process, you know, it's not sort of done necessarily in that first round before you go out shopping. It might be that you come back and you sit down with it again after your research, and you then actually think about what you've seen, or what you've, obviously if you're doing this online, it's kind of easier in the sense that you've got the dimensions in front of you as well, and you can compare back to your drawing. And, you know, say in a room where maybe you would ideally like to have maybe a couple of armchairs with the dining table, but, you know, if you see a dining table you love and it's too big for that, maybe you'll compromise and you'll just have one chair, or you won't have any sort of extra armchairs in the room.
I would definitely agree, based on my experiences with the taking the measurements and bringing them with you. As an example of what I encountered, I have a doormat outside my door. I live in an apartment, so it's obviously out of the generic hallway. But there's a horrible stain on the carpet just outside my door, where clearly the previous tenant had spilt bleach or had some stickiness or something. So I'm very keen to cover it. However, it goes right the length of the door, and every mat that I was looking at was quite short, and I wanted one to cover the whole amount. And the amount of times I was out shopping, I thought, oh, that mat might work. And I was like, I don't know the measurements. And yes, I measured it probably about 10 times. Yeah. And I was like, will you write it down on a piece of paper or take a picture of it even, so that you have it in your phone? Because I kept losing the paper. So definitely, if you're working to some sort of restriction in relation to it needs to be that long, or actually you've got a tight space and it needs to be shorter, write it down, take a picture of it, make sure you have it someplace that you can easily access.
Yes, that. Absolutely. And also, because often when you're looking for things that are maybe slightly trickier to find, it can be a case that you spot things when you're not actually intentionally out shopping for the rug or whatever the object is, but you just happen to see something, and that's when you need to then be able to pull up this relevant information and check there and then, especially if, you know, it was something that, you know, you need to make a decision on quite quickly.
Because back to that saying, if you're looking for something specific, you'll never find it. Yes. I didn't realise, but a lot of the doormats are actually quite short.
Yeah.
So many were ruled out. I thought I would never have so much trouble trying to find a doormat of all things.
Mm.
Now, you mentioned the graph paper, and I love the idea of drawing things out. One thing that I was sort of having nightmares about, which is sort of funny for an ex-banker, was the maths of trying to reduce my room to scale on this piece of paper. I'm just having nightmares because I'm not very good at maths in that regard. One tip that somebody gave me was actually, when you go out and you see what you might like, actually use masking tape and mask it out in the room so that you can get a generalization of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've done, or you've
I don't do that. But I have seen many people do it in their homes. So the reason I don't do that is because, you know, it's quite a kind of laborious kind of physical exercise. But I suppose
you're making me feel very simple.
I suppose I'm often working on a property that I'm not in, so I don't have, you know, the accessibility in that way to start laying out masking tape kind of in situ. And even, you know, if it's in my own home, I'm probably just a bit too lazy to actually do that. So, and obviously, you know, I sort of come from a background where I'm quite used to working on paper in this way. But I think the beauty of doing it on paper rather than the masking tape on the floor is that it's so much easier to try out multiple ideas.
Yes.
And it does mean as well that, you know, if you're Working on a room over time. So maybe, you know, if it's an open plan kind of living dining space, for example, you know, you've moved into the property recently, you know, perhaps just budget wise, you're kind of focusing on getting, you know, sofas in, but the dining table is going to wait a bit longer. But by planning the space then overall and just working out how you ideally want to lay that out, it's a document then that you have for the future when you actually go to source, you know, the dining end of the room. Whereas obviously if you mask on the floor, then I suppose, you know, you're probably not going to leave it there kind of longer term and reference back to it.
Could look like an episode of CSI.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
But yeah, I mean, obviously it has its place and, you know, for a quick kind of check on stuff and certainly to for people who aren't maybe so used to thinking in that kind of spatial way that I suppose, you know, interior designers and architects kind of are so used to doing. So to be able to really visualize what something three-dimensional will look like in a space, I think it does help people to appreciate, for example, the, you know, the depth of a sofa. Sometimes when I draw on a plan for somebody or just mark out with a measuring tape in a room and I say, you know, that your sofa is actually going to come out like a meter off the wall, and I show them that, and they're often so shocked because in their minds they've kind of convinced themselves that they'll have all this floor space left over, you know, which isn't really the case. So it can be good exercise that way, just to kind of appreciate the real size of things.
And it's not just the floor space, actually, because I know in one of my bedrooms the bed is under the window. So yeah. I was really cognizant of not having a bed that the height, once you added in the headboard, yes. was yeah. really high, because it was going to block mm-hmm. out the light.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often think the width and the depth, and that's all we need to look at when we're measuring up furniture. But actually, you should also think of the height, because if it's a worktop or a sideboard and you're going to be using it or working it, you know, is it too high? Is it too low? You don't want to be stooping.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
a mass yeah. consideration yeah. that's very easily overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, that idea of drawing out your walls as well is so valuable in that sense, in terms of furniture height, and also even when it comes to kind of accessorizing a room. So it may be that you've got a sideboard but you would like to put a mirror on top, and you know, when I work through a room design, I would actually be drawing out the walls and even thinking about mirrors, pictures, shelves, other things that might go on the walls. Because sometimes, you know, you might see something you love, say it was a huge round mirror and you really want to get that into the room. But it would mean that if you place something under it, it's got to be quite a low item. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with prioritizing that mirror early on. I think sometimes people feel that, you know, they must sort of choose the furniture and only then allow themselves to think on beyond that. But I think yeah. when you draw things out, it almost gives you the kind of freedom or the permission, if you like, to think through every detail in the room and not actually commit to, you know, any individual piece then until you're comfortable with how all that's going to look.
I actually have a feature wall in my dining room, and I decided I was going to have a double door sideboard. So I sort of measured it out, and my painter painted this lovely blue navy wall. And then, of course, I ended up buying a triple sideboard, which three doors. So I had to retrospectively go back and paint another strip of the wall.
Wow.
If you look very closely, you'll see the clear line. But yeah. It's one of those things, actually, planning goes a long way. And yeah. I think I've pretty much done a lot of things, maybe with hindsight, which I would have changed. So
yeah.
really recommend people, if they're interested in looking at it, you know, you give some great designs at your workshop mm-hmm. around actually how you draw that out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Quite a few of the workshops we cover and the drawing aspect as well. And just actually to mention about the drawing to scale, like your concern about the graph paper, and you know, these scale rulers I mentioned, you can buy them very easily online, you know, on Amazon, anywhere, and that is the key really to being able to do that without having to calculate the maths in your head.
Good So even I can do it.
Yes, that's it.
Amazing, Audrey. Well, thank you so much for all of those tips around measuring up space. And I suppose anybody that's looking to do it should maybe check out one of your workshops if they want to upskill in the area.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be great to see people along. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like and share with your friends and family who are working on their own home interiors project. Be sure to follow us on our Instagram, Facebook and YouTube channels at the DNA of Home Interiors.
If you are looking for inspiration and help in designing your home project, check out
Audrey Whelan's Masterclasses and sign up for one today. And Audrey, what's that address again?
It's audreywhelan.com/events.
And it also makes a great gift. And don't forget to check out cooldia.com to easily search, discover and shop furniture products across the entire retail market on one website. We hope you can join us next time.